Go ahead. Can I stop you?
I don't even remember her name. I felt so bad. But all of a sudden, her mom realized the girl must have been saying something to her mom, and her mom was waving at the little girl. But it was just an encouragement, you know, that there's a little girl that's going to come to church, and somehow God maybe is working with that. Amen.
Turn to John 17, if you would, please. Let me make mention again. Every Wednesday night, I revise the prayer list. I put on it the coming Sunday's date, so that's how you can know if you've got a current one or not. But be sure to pick those up. Pray for these things through the week. And one more thing to mention, Candace has an unspoken request on the list, and it's a need, a desperate need. So please pray for that if you would. John 17, I want to speak this morning about conflicting worldviews. Begin in verse 1 of this chapter. We'll read the entire chapter. But before we begin reading, just to understand the context here, chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus Christ has pulled the disciples aside, and he's been giving them some final instructions before his betrayal and crucifixion, trying to prepare them because they don't really understand what's about to happen. And he's giving them some courage and so forth. And chapter 17 is a prayer of Jesus Christ for us, not for himself. I mean, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane about, you know, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You know, if possible that this cup would pass from me. But we come to John 17 in this prayer is for us. Not only the disciples of the first century, but for us as well. And so you keep that in mind, and he's praying and some concerns upon his heart about what is going to befall his believers, his followers, after his departure while he's in heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 17, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Lord, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, Now, this isn't an important part of the message, but it is a part of it. The world hated them. Think about that. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them unto the world, into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, watch this, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in me, and I in them. And he spoke these words and went out and was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. But he prayed this final prayer as he's about to be crucified, knowing what was in store for his followers. Conflicting worldviews. Conflict is everywhere we turn. Washington, D.C., Harrisburg, Spring Mills, all kinds of things. Should we be vaccinated? Who can use what bathroom? Should we be in Afghanistan? Should a wall be built? Who should I vote for? And I mean, just there's no end to the conflicts that we face all around us. Nearly every topic that you can bring up can be a minefield of conflict and strife. People don't agree on things. And the divide in this nation seems to be getting deeper all the time instead of getting better. What's the reason for the conflict? Many, if not all, conflicts, I believe, can be traced to differing worldviews. The things that influence us. Everyone has a worldview, a belief system, or an ideology that influences the way we view things, the way we interpret everything in the world. Many things shape our worldview and influence it. Culture, education, religion, emotion. All these factors play a part in the worldview that each and every one of us has. How we view things, how we react to things, what we believe about things. Now, as a believer in Christ, I should view the world from God's perspective. God's given us his word for that purpose. There's a number of verses, but the one that probably one that maybe most clearly comes to mind in this is Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I should view things the way God views things. Now, we all struggle with that. We're all imperfect in our implementing that in our lives, but that should be our desire, our goal. Some issues, I think, are pretty clear. I think it's easy to understand that murder is wrong. Not too many people will dispute that. Stealing, gender issues, marriage. Where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? The Bible should shape our worldview on all things. And these are some things I think that are pretty clear, clearly found in the Scriptures, and a clear understanding of those things can be gained. Some of the things, though, take maybe a little bit more study, a little bit more thought. But there are core values that ought to lay the foundation for our worldview, how we perceive things, how we respond to things. And I think these can be found in this prayer. Now, I'm certainly not going to be able to exhaust this subject, and I'm not going to be able to mine everything that's in this chapter. I'm just going to basically kind of touch on a few points here. But I want you to think about this morning. First, look at John chapter 17 again, verses 1 to 3. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, just in those three verses, there's more than I can cover just in this time this morning. So again, I'm just going to pick a couple of things out there, but the basis of our worldview should be there is a God. And he says, the only true God. There is one Lord. There is one God. And that God is the Creator, who has power over all things, as he is brought out in this passage as well. He is the Creator and ruler of all. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Keep your finger here. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Everything. Nothing's exempted from that. Do you know that this was the worldview that our nation was founded upon? We hold these truths to be self-evident. Our founders didn't believe it was difficult to understand. They said it ought to be self-evident to everyone that all men are created equal. First created, secondly created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And again, there's many things even in that that I could stress, but the foremost thing is there is a Creator. It didn't happen by accident. This world exists because God spoke and it came into being. That's the God. That's got to be the basis of a biblical worldview, but that is puts us in conflict with much of the world. Many people in this country of ours don't believe that. They don't believe that there are self-evident truths, or that there is a Creator. It puts us in conflict that those who deny that God determined a person's gender. And as the Penns Valley School District and many school districts around the country are facing that question, that issue, that's the reason why there's a conflict, because there are differing worldviews. But as a believer in Christ, we believe that God's Lord over all. He rules. He created us. He created us what we are. He determined our gender. Now, I know that they've suddenly decided that there's a difference between sex and gender. nonsense. But God determined those things. There is a God. But secondly, from these first three verses, we see that God sent Jesus Christ to give eternal life. Well, that gets even narrower, doesn't it? He says, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, I know, and I'm sure we all agree that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. But there's also many times where, that God, to explain things, shows that there is a distinction of the Godhead. There's a distinction of the persons in the Godhead. But this idea that Jesus Christ was sent with eternal life, again, puts us in conflict with an even greater proportion of the world and our country as well. Those who want to have many different roads to heaven, leading to heaven. No, they don't. There is one God and one source of eternal life. That's through Jesus Christ. That puts us in conflict with every religion and every denomination that teaches eternal life can be obtained or gained in some other way. Even some who claim to be Christian denominations. Because sadly, there are so many churches, denominations, that believe that there's something more that needs to be done on the part of me or you in order for us to have eternal life, other than just trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. That puts us in conflict. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But that's a worldview that we Bible-believing Christians have that is in conflict with so much of the world. And I don't know that there's a way to resolve that other than them coming to the truth. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men, in heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, Peter said. So that's the first one, God, and parts of that with Jesus Christ and salvation. But I want you to look at the second one. Look at verse 6. Begin reading in verse 6 of chapter 17 of John. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The words. He gave us the words. Now, certainly there's much more than what he just spoke in these four gospels, but it's all God's word. And it's given to us. And as Sam Gipp says, I don't believe in the dumb God theory. That is, that God inspired and gave us his word and then somehow lost it. And all we have is fragments and pieces of something that might have been what God said. I believe that if it was important enough to inspire, it was important enough for God to preserve it perfect for us today. I believe in the inerrancy of the scriptures. And I don't believe that as an abstract concept. I believe that as a real concept, that there is an actual inerrant copy of the scriptures that I hold in my hands, that I read, that I preach from. He gave us his words. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But it didn't stay there. And I mentioned this before, but do you realize that when you read your Bible, you're reading the only book that's ever existed that the author is always present when you're reading it. What a thought. His word. He gave us his word. It's not just a collection of writings of men. It's God's word. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? A voice from heaven. That's what he's talking about previous to this. So even those that claim to hear a voice from God, God speaking them to heaven, this is more sure than that. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you dwell that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Those writers, and Peter, James, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Moses, all of them, the things that they recorded were directed by God to record. And God didn't allow what they were inspired and directed to record to disappear. He's preserved it for us. Because everything that we believe, everything that our worldview is based upon comes from here. That puts you in conflict with an even greater population of the world. Because even among good churches, there's a lot of men that don't believe that they hold the Word of God in their hand. They'll say, I believe the Bible. I believe every word from cover to cover. It even says Holy Bible on the cover. And they really don't believe any such thing, because in the next verse or the next moment they'll stand and say, well, this word should have been translated. You don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. If you believe, you can improve it. God gave us his word. John 17, 17, one of the next verses there, he says, sanctify them to thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is the source of truth, folks. You can listen to Fox, you can listen to CNN, you can listen to One News America, I don't care. It's hard to discern the truth. There's all kinds of, throughout the internet, all kinds of stuff. There's one place I go, I don't have to worry about discerning it. I just believe it. Every word of God is true. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Every word. Every word of God is pure. We can trust it. But look at this, 2 Timothy 3. And I know many of these verses are probably very, very familiar to you. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. I'll start in verse 15. Paul writing to young Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, a young man he trained himself and sent there to Ephesus to pastor that church. He says that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. And we know that his mother and his grandmother were believers. He said, I see the unfeigned faith that's in you, Timothy, that first was in thy mother Lois, and in thy grandmother Eunice, and now in thee. But he says that it was for a child, the knowledge of the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. They were the vessels which communicated the truth to him, but it was the scriptures that was the source of that truth that brought him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then he says this, and is profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. For a proof. Well, that's setting me right. For correction. The reproof is showing that I'm wrong. The correction is setting me right. For instruction in righteousness, it's keeping me along that path of doing right. But then look at this, verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect. That's the purpose of this book. The words of God, the words that he gave to us. Truly furnished unto all good works. If you got this book, you got all you need. I'm not saying there aren't some things that can be help and useful to us. But if this is all you got, it's all you need. You got the Holy Ghost living inside of you to help you to understand, to lead you into all truths. And we face these conflicts and these disagreements. You come back to the scriptures. What's the Bible say? What principles apply to this situation to help me to shape this worldview? This is a source of truth. This is a standard by which truth is to be measured. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm chapter 19. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Well, isn't it good to know that you've got something you can count on? It's always going to be dependable. It's sure. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there's great reward. That source of truth. A source of absolute truth. There's no such thing as my truth. I don't know who made that up. It's become popular maybe in the last 10, 15 years. But that's my truth. Really? Well, how about getting in touch with reality? Truth. This book. God's given us this word, and it puts us in conflict with those who deny the truth. People are quick to claim, oh, that book, it's an old archaic book. Don't you try to impose your archaic thinking upon me. Then don't impose your progressive thinking on me. You see, it's all right for them to try to do that to us. But they don't want this. Conflict of worldviews. And they don't see the hypocrisy on their part. Because it's their truth. And that's what the struggle is how do you deal with that? How do you approach that? God's word is given us. Thirdly, I want you to see this. Go back to John 17 again. All men are not destined for heaven. John 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Well, that's kind of exclusive, isn't it? I guess God's not a very inclusive God. Well, he is and he isn't. He isn't that anyone can get in. He isn't and that not everyone gets in. Because not all his are thine or mine. Verse 10, and all mine are thine and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. He says, I'm leaving them. I'm going away. And the previous chapters, he talked about that, about the Comforter coming in his absence to be there for us, to guide us into all truth and so forth. But he's concerned about this. He says, because they're being left behind for now. Keep them, God. Keep them through thy name. They're in the world. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's Judas Iscariot. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He says, while they're left behind, I'm leaving something to help to sustain them through what they're going to have to face. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. There, that is, the world hates us, folks. Because of that differing worldview. Because they're not looking at things the way we are supposed to be looking at them. And there's always going to be that conflict. As long as there are at least two different perspectives, saying biblical and non-biblical, that now that non-biblical encompasses a whole lot. But basically the two perspectives. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Not all are children of God. The world hates us. The world is evil. This present evil world, Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians 4. Think about this evil world. Anybody read about the Spanish Inquisition? Where Roman Catholicism for hundreds of years persecuted and martyred Christians because they wouldn't bow to their worldview? You got the Holocaust, you got the Islam, you got racism, you got the LGBTQ nonsense. That's evil. And it's hateful. We had the discussion this morning in Sunday school about how Lot was willing to give up his daughters to the men of Sodom to protect his guests, the angels that came to visit him. And we struggle with that. But there's a different worldview. That culture, in that culture, women were not valued. Christianity is what has elevated womanhood to an equal plane with man. Even in the Old Testament, there was still a degree of a woman being a lesser being than a man. But there are still cultures today that have that same mentality. Afghanistan. The Islamic cultures do not regard women as equals. They are property. And they deal with hate. Someone mentioned something about a woman who was just executed, I think, just recently. There's a number of them actually in Afghanistan have. But these, we're in this evil world, folks. But this isn't our destiny. This isn't where we stay. Let me, I got ahead of myself there a little bit. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, that describes my heart too, and yours. This world's evil. And it's only this book and the God of this book and the Savior of this book that changes things and changes the worldview. But not understanding the worldviews or the things that influence the worldviews of others leads to all kinds of folly. Do you know that there are people that believe that it's all right to tell a lie? Situation ethics has been taught in our public school systems. Well, the circumstance determines what the truth should be. Islam teaches that it's all right to tell a lie if it's to protect themselves and their religion. That's a doctrine of Islam. I'm not making that up. Read the Quran, you'll see it. That's what those people are. That's how they think. That's how they conduct themselves. That's their worldview. And makes dealing with them very difficult. You can make a treaty, but they have no intent in keeping that treaty. But we're fools if we think that they view things like we do. Their worldview is different. And it's dangerous to not understand that. Leads to all kinds of folly. Let me wrap it up here. Look at verse 20. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As he's concluding this prayer, he's praying for us, all who believe through their word. He's praying for a unity that we all may be one, united in that thing. But notice that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That through us, Jesus Christ is seen and believed upon. This is his prayer. Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me through heaven's open door. I can't be at home in this world anymore. If we've got the proper worldview, folks, it's going to affect how we live. This is temporary. But we've been left here for a purpose. I believe as American citizens, we have some civic responsibilities. But above that, we have some biblical responsibilities. And the civics should never take precedence over the biblical. Our responsibility to God should be first and foremost. Look at verse 23 here in John 17. Then we'll go to 2 Corinthians 5. I and them, and thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. By getting saved, my old world view should pass away. And my new, there should be a new world view. But look what he says, verse 18. And all things are of God. That ought to shape my world view. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. First and foremost, my responsibility is to glorify Jesus Christ. That God would be glorified in my life. Jesus prayed about that, that they would behold the glory that thou had given me. And we ought to reflect that glory. Well, one of the purposes of doing that is that others would see. That they would see Jesus Christ in us. That would have an impact upon them. That their worldview could be changed to what it ought to be. And most of all, of course, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I have a responsibility to first glorify God. But then to reflect that glory to others. And you know, we struggle with some things, and it was mentioned this morning that there's some conflict about this group that's formed in Penns Valley, and they're not, well, we don't know if their stated purpose is, well, I want to be a part of. Well, probably not, because they're probably not believers. And even though you might have one common goal, still your worldviews are different, and there's going to be conflict. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try to persuade them and try to explain to them and try to switch their thinking. But don't lose sight of the first and foremost, your responsibility to see them come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Because if you are successful in doing away with this transgender group in Penns Valley and changing the critical race theory and all this other stuff, and they die and go to hell? Did you really accomplish much in this evil world? Yeah, I'm not saying we shouldn't fight those things. Just keep the proper priority. That first and foremost, that I conduct myself to reflect my Savior, that they might see. There is more than just this world. There is an eternity that they need to be ready for. Amen? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, I know this subject is far deeper than what I went into this morning, but I pray that with just this glimpse of it, that we ourselves would evaluate to be sure that our worldview is a biblical one. And God, more importantly, that we in our lives and the way we conduct ourselves serve as a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. God, I do believe we have responsibility to be involved in civic affairs and for our voices to be known. But even in the doing of that, God, help us to conduct ourselves in a way which pleases and honors and glorifies you. Father, take these words this morning and apply them in the hearts and minds of your people as you see the need. God, every one of us, I'm sure, has some adjusting and correcting to do regarding our worldview. It's so easy in this evil world to, as Jesus even prayed, that we would be kept from the evil as we live in among it. Oh God, help to keep us pure. Help to keep us right. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to